So last week, Talitha began her sermon by singing a song from Porgy and Bess called It Ain't Necessarily So, which I'm not even going to try to top. She gets the award for the best start for a sermon this year. Quoting that song, it ain't necessarily so the things you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. Talitha proceeded to explain that the story of the virgin birth, as it tends to be understood in the modern world, ain't necessarily so. Gynecologically, historically, mythologically, theologically, Talitha gave us grains of salt to take with our reading of the virgin birth stories in the Bible because those stories ain't necessarily so. Well, in my homily this morning, I want to tilt with the windmill of another commonly held Christmas misconception, so to speak. Jesus wasn't born on Christmas. Or to be perfectly accurate, the chances Jesus was born on Christmas are exactly 1 in 365.4. Which is to say that Jesus could have been born on Christmas, but that's only because December 25th happens to be a day on which some people are born. 3.654 tenths of 1% of us, to be exact. Now, I know this news is not as big a deal as what Talitha said about Mary's not necessarily being a virgin at the moment of Jesus' conception. But I also happen to know someone who left the Presbyterian Church and joined the Jehovah's Witnesses when he learned there's absolutely no record of Jesus' actual birthday. And John Calvin, bless his grumpy soul, believed that no one should celebrate Christmas since no one knows the precise date of Jesus' birth. Well, I'm glad no one listened to John Calvin on the subject of Christmas, because even if at Advent we await the birth of a child who probably was born in April for all we know, still, as we enter into the darkest time of the year, it is important for us to remember that even when nights are long, a light shines into the darkness, and the darkness cannot conquer the light. Even when the winter is cold, the flame of love may cast its heat into the corners of our souls, which long for the languid warmth of August. Even in a season of hate, genuine kindness dwells among us, keeping the nastiness at bay. Even in days that are fearful, we walk forward with determination and courageous strength. Even when one sorrowful hour melts into the next, and it seems as if there will be no end to the tears, we may yet find comfort and peace. This is what we wait for at Advent. This is the object of our longing, not a date that corresponds with a number on a non-existent birth certificate, but faith that grows in the hope and love and peace and joy. The hope of Advent is not something that is easy to articulate using words on paper or words spoken from a pulpit, because the hope of Advent is not logical. The light, the love, the warmth, the hope and courage and comfort for which we long during Advent, this is not something that can be expressed using a mathematical equation or a philosophical proposition. The hope of Advent is best expressed artistically. It could be painted or sculpted. It could be articulated in poetry. But most common, and I think the most effective way to express the hope of Advent, is with music. And you know this. You know how the right Christmas carol at the right moment can call forth tears like the living waters of a rushing stream. Sometimes it's a religious song like O Come All Ye Faithful. Sometimes it's chestnuts roasting on an open fire. It doesn't matter. The songs remind us that even when, baby, it's cold outside, and when the darkness is filled with profane cacophony, still, the nights to come may yet be silent and holy and calm and bright. Now, there are some years, there are some Advents when it is relatively easy to hold on to the hope of the season. There are some Advent seasons when it seems reasonable to wait for the birth of the Prince of Peace and the dawning of a day when every tear will be wiped from every eye. Some Advent seasons are naturally given to hope and good cheer. Well, the Advent which brings 2016 to a close isn't necessarily one of those seasons. I don't think I'm alone in finding this to be a difficult Advent season. It's been a difficult season for our whole country, especially for those who hope to live in a kind-hearted, compassionate, and just nation. It's been a hard Advent for us locally, as our city is still reeling from the aftermath of the Ghost Ship fire, whose youngest victim was known by and loved by several members of our congregation. This Advent, to sing songs of hope, is to call to mind the psalm that Anna read before this homily. That psalm is a poem that was written by exiles from Judea living in Babylon. They were homesick, they were oppressed, and they were finding it impossible to sing the songs of Jerusalem, the songs of the city of God, the songs of their homeland. The backstory to this psalm is this. The Babylonian Empire conquered, when they conquered countries such as the tiny country of Judea, the southern part of what once was Israel, when they did this, when the Babylonians made such conquests, they removed the societal and cultural elites from their conquered territories and made them live somewhere else in exile. It was a way of breaking the resolve of local populations. And when the psalm was written by folks who'd been moved at spear point into a foreign place where it was hard to sing the songs of God, the songs of hope, the songs of their home, they were filled with tears. But what we know from history is this. We know that the exiles did, in the end, sing the songs of God. While in Babylon, the Jewish exiles experienced a religious revival. There in exile, they collected and edited their sacred stories so that they became most of what we who are Christians call the Old Testament. In exile, the Hebrew language started to become standardized. In exile, the religious practice became codified in such a way that when the exiles finally won the right to return to Jerusalem, they went home transformed. And I believe that when, despite everything, we are able somehow, like those exiles, to sing the songs of hope and joy and peace during the difficult Advent seasons, when the nights are long and cold, and when it's hardest to sing with beauty and grace, when we are able in such times to sing, then we will reach Christmas and the new year as stronger people. Our world may not be transformed by our singing, but we will be changed. We will have more courage. We will have more determination and strength. We will have more compassion and more love. So, dearly beloved, sing. Sing from deep within your soul. Sing for joy. Sing for hope. Sing for the child who is yet to be born among us. Amen.